All right, episode 4, the Crossover Conversations podcast. We are your hosts, the Wyatts. I am Devin.
And I'm Katie.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Katie, before we get into the meat of the podcast, there's some exciting news that I want to share with you. We made history, or not history, but we have set a record during this episode of the podcast. Did you realize that 90% of all podcasts that start don't make it to the fourth episode? And here we are. So we are in the top 10% of all podcasts
ever recorded. That's great. So far, we're playoff eligible.
Playoff eligible. But anyway, getting into the meat of the podcast, I think the biggest news of the week, the thing we should start with, is Cameron Brink. Big injury, tore ACL. You and I were actually flipping back and forth between that game and the other game at the time. So we didn't see it live, but it looked pretty ugly in the replay.
Oh yeah, I feel like you could tell as soon as it happened.
You knew something was wrong.
It was a pretty big injury.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, especially when she rolled over and she was clearly in pain, and then the trainers had to carry her off the court. So just bad all around. Bad for her. I feel bad for her. Obviously, being a rookie, missing the majority of the season. Bad for the league, being that she was the number two pick. You know, being out and no longer getting that kind of spotlight that she should be getting, or that the team probably is hoping that they could get with her on the team. So, I don't know, but kind of bad all around.
Yeah, and not to mention, she was on the 3-on-3 Olympic team.
Yeah, that's a huge blow to them as well. That's right. Olympic team, hopefully going for gold, loses, you know, one of their three players. So clearly going to impact that, and they got to find somebody and find somebody pretty quick to replace her.
Right. I was just thinking about just the ways that this is going to impact her in the league. And, you know, just last week we were talking about how the rookies were matching up to the vets in this WNBA season. And I just think she was probably on track to set some records in her rookie season. So it's just a shame that she can't finish that out.
I know. I really do feel bad for her. She was, I think, not necessarily points. I think the first thing that people look at when they look at the statistics box is the points. She wasn't leading her team in points by any means, but she was doing a lot of things that were affecting the game in a good way for her team. I mean, she was leading the league in blocks. So there were some things that she was doing that were really good, and she was having an impact on our team. So it's going to hurt them.
Well, yeah, and you're right. For the team's sake, I mean, for me, it's like if the Sparks come to Dallas, I want to go see the game because of Cameron Brink.
Sure.
Like, I know that there are other great players on the team, but like most notable is Cameron Brink.
Right. And so I guess to your point, they could lose. I think that people who have bought tickets are going to go now regardless. But Right. You're right. I think people who may have, you know, been those last second ticket buyers are maybe now going to think, maybe not. They're going to think twice about it because they can't see the player that maybe they wanted to come see.
Right. No. And I just wondered with ACL tears, what's the recovery time like typically for that? I know it's season ending.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, this is, you know, see you later, not goodbye forever.
Right.
But how long is this recovery?
Man, that's kind of a loaded question. Typically, I will say it's 8 to 9 months. There are a whole bunch of factors that play into that. If you go the super secret stem cell, you know, treatment type that Aaron Rodgers did for his Achilles, you know, you might come back, you know, way sooner. What was his Achilles recovery time, like 4 months, if even that, something crazy. But you know, it could also be the opposite way. If you run into complications during recovery or during surgery, it could be longer than 9 months, but I would say on average 8 or 9 months.
Yeah. So hopefully by next season.
Yes. Assuming everything goes well, she should be back for the beginning of next season.
Paige Beckers, did she tear her ACL?
I believe she did. So she played obviously all of this past season. I want to say it was the season before last
Right. That
she sat out the entire season with an injury because she had torn it the prior season, if that makes any sense.
I know. I'm asking what her injury was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe she tore her ACL.
Okay, yeah. So it sounds like she just had one kind of off season.
Yes.
So
yes, in that case, yeah. Other big news, the highest watched game in the last 23 years of the WNBA occurred last weekend on Sunday when the Fever and the Sky, Indiana and Chicago, met. They averaged 2.25 million views with a peak of almost 3 million views. It's crazy to think about that 23 years ago, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark weren't even born. They're both 22 years old.
Right.
So the last time the WNBA had viewers like this, they weren't even around.
Yeah, which is super interesting because they also, like, they didn't have HD TV or 4K TV back right. then. Yep. So it just, like...
times were different.
I don't know. Yeah, it is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I kind of do want to kind of put it in perspective. I looked it up. The Elite Eight game between these two players, obviously at that time they were playing Iowa and LSU. The Elite Eight game between them was an average of 12.3 million views. So significantly more.
How many did you say?
12.3 million on average for that Elite Eight game.
Wow.
You know, which was a record at that time for NCAA game, I believe. Or maybe it was just women's basketball in general.
Right.
But then this game, you know, WNBA specifically with a peak of 3 million. So still quite a ways away.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think that some would say that this matchup between the Fever and the Sky is a budding rivalry.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it kind of has carried over from college basketball. But yes, I would 100% agree. They're both younger teams, generally speaking. They are both Eastern Conference teams. They're both, even regionally within the Eastern Conference, very close to each other. They just kind of by default of the WNBA scheduling play each other quite a bit. I mean, they play again this weekend.
I know.
1 weekend after that. So
I know. Do you think that the viewing record is going to be broken again?
I think it will, and I'll tell you why. I think it will because the Fever are on a hot streak. I think that maybe people were starting to shy away from watching because they were not doing as well, and they're like, oh, man, maybe Caitlin Clark isn't as good as we thought. But they've won, what, 3-4 in a row now? I believe it's 4 in a row.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so they're on a hot streak right now. I think that people are going to see that and be like, ooh, wow, okay, this might be a pretty good game, and tune in. That plus them having heard about it in the news this past weekend about how many views they had, I think will kind of draw some more people as well. So I think, yes, I think it'll be broken again.
Yeah, and since we're already talking about it, we might as well talk about how hot Angel Reese is right now.
From a player's perspective? Like on the court? Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, she's hot too. She's attractive. But like, okay. Yes, I was talking about on the court.
Okay, well, I wasn't really sure where you were going with that. But yes, you are correct. She is hot on the court. She recorded her, what, 7th double-double in a row?
I mean, it's truly incredible.
Yeah, I mean, incredible for any player, much less a rookie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's insane. To think about 7.
No, absolutely. It's interesting. I was thinking about WNBA rivalries this past week and just what makes a rivalry. Because when I think of a rivalry, I think of teams who are in the same state or just some kind of history that has occurred, like some kind of event, you know, that has occurred. And I do feel like, you know, you talked about some of the Chicago and Indianapolis, you know, reasons why maybe they are considered rivals. But I was thinking about just other rivals or past rivals in the league. And one of them is probably the Aces, the Las Vegas Aces and the New York Liberty.
That's a good one.
I think a lot because they just both have incredible players.
Yeah.
It's like matchup of the amazing talent, you know,
like
that they
two
both
most
have.
Stacked rosters, the Eastern Conference stacked roster versus the Western Coast stacked roster.
Right. And they played each other in the championship last year, right?
Yeah, they did. They did. And the Aces, as we know, came out on top, but during the regular season, the Liberty were the ones that had their number during the regular season.
Oh, really? Yeah. They were leading in the number of games won.
Uh-huh, right, over the course of their regular season series. But yes, then come playoff time, the Aces, and actually, I don't know if you know this, the Aces won that final game to win the series by 1 point, 70-69.
Wow.
So it was a close game.
Yeah, it's probably a good one to rewatch. I did see last year, I don't know, some interview with Kelsey Plum, and Kelsey Plum said something about how the New York Liberty, they were a team, but they weren't really a team. Just something about how it's like they're great players, but they don't really care about each other. And I think what she was getting at is maybe she didn't feel like the cohesion was there between the players on the Liberty's team.
Okay.
And I know that quite a few of the Liberty players took offense to that.
I bet they did.
They took it personally, yeah, I would say.
Yeah, I would.
I know Jonquel Jones, who is truly a superstar, she was one who was pretty vocal about her disagreement with what Kelsey Plum said, and Sabrina Ionescu, you know, made a comment, and a couple of other Liberty players, and I do think Kelsey Plum tried to say, you know, hey, this was taken out of context.
Which wouldn't surprise me. The media has a tendency to do that.
Totally. But also, I mean, I would probably read into that too, you know, if I was on the Liberty. And
oh, 100%.
So I do think that, you know, that probably sparked a little bit of a fire between the two.
Oh, yeah.
The
I
two
bet.
Teams. And what's actually kind of interesting is that Jonquel Jones, just not too long ago, a week or two ago, came out and said, you know, I can almost understand where Kelsey Plum was coming from, because she also feels like, Jonquel Jones said that this year the Liberty are just playing in a much more cohesive way. They've been
interesting,
very dominant. I think they might be second in the whole
league
after the Connecticut Sun.
Yep.
If they're not second, they're third, but they've won, I think, most of their games. I think they've only lost two. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I feel like in the WNBA, it's these rivalries are more about the players and almost less about the teams, you know?
Because
I feel
like, I kind of agree with that.
With Indiana and Chicago, it's like Angel versus Caitlin.
Right.
And
right.
With the Aces and the Liberty, it feels like, you know, like these four great players against these four great players, you know, and even I think Phoenix, we talked a couple weeks ago about some of the drama between Phoenix and the Storm, and it seems like it's more player oriented than, you know, actual
team itself.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So I kind of feel like that's where maybe some of the WNBA rivalries stem.
It's almost like these college rivalries, like players had rivalries with other players while they were playing college. And that may have carried over into their professional playing. And then also, maybe they had rivalries with other just schools in general, like a UConn-Stanford rivalry, East Coast-West Coast, let's just say. And maybe that has sparked some rivalries that have carried over into professional league play as well.
Possible. But I feel like pretty much UConn is represented in
all
every
over.
Single team.
Yeah. 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 So they're all rivals. So, everybody's rivals.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yep. I'm trying to think. All-star voting opened up. Have you made your votes? First of all, you can vote once a day. So once every 24 hours, you can submit votes. Have you submitted any votes?
I have.
Oh, you have.
Yeah, no, I did it a couple nights ago. I've never engaged in the WNBA all-star voting before. I didn't even know that's how it worked. I didn't know that the fans have a vote, but I won't go into my vote picks, but it does look like you pick four posts and six guards.
Other
I
way
think.
Around.
Oh, okay,
other way around.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, it's interesting. I'm going to have you explain a little bit how the players are actually selected, because it's not all fan
vote. Correct. Yeah. So this fan vote. So everybody, if you haven't voted, make sure you go online and vote at least once a day. You have until June 29th. That's the last day to vote. So we've got basically about another week left. But the fan vote only accounts for 50% of the rankings, if you will.
That's a pretty high percentage, it actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's, like, it's pretty high.
How does it work in the NBA?
NBA is, I believe they have a fan vote portion as well. I don't know that it's 50%, though.
Yeah.
But the other 50% of this voting is done by players and by the media.
For so the WNBA All-Star,
correct,
yeah.
Correct, yes. So players will account for 25%, and then the media will account for the last 25%.
The media, so that's mm-hmm. just like...
Sports media.
Got it, okay.
Right, kind of like... like the old college football BCS ranking system where the media had a portion right. of that, or like the AP yep. AP ranking system. Sense. Yeah, where the media just votes.
Also, I just looked it up, and it does look like in the past year, NBA All-Star Game starters are selected by the fans, NBA players, and the media, and fan votes were 50%.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's... probably about the same thing.
Yeah.
So probably the same system.
Looks like it's working about the same.
Okay. Interesting. They released, actually, like, literally just prior to us recording this, the top, I don't know what this is, like, top 10 players so far in the fan vote. Have you looked at that list? Do you have any thoughts on that list? Because I've got some thoughts based on this list and based on how I voted in my picks.
I think I saw the top three.
Yeah.
Asia Wilson, Caitlin Clark, and Aaliyah Boston.
Yep.
Which all of those make a lot of sense to me. But I think I'm a little bit confused because last week we talked about how the Olympic team,
uh-huh.
like the already selected Olympic team for,
right.
for the women's United States mm-hmm. team, is going to be playing the All-Star team.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So when I went to vote, I was very surprised that the Olympic team was in the voting selections, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't get it.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my thought. Is I purposefully voted in my votes for players that I thought were the most deserving, but not on the Olympic team.
Well, I did too. I don't know okay. what the point is of voting for the women on the Olympic team.
Well, I think it's just
be there.
I think it's just for the honor of being an All-Star, of being oh. considered an All-Star. There might even be some players that have things written into their contract. It's like, mm-hmm. hey, if you make the All-Star team, you get a $50,000 bonus or something like that. So I think it's for that purpose. But me personally, I think you're wasting a vote if you vote for somebody who's on the Olympic team. Not saying they don't deserve yeah. it any other year, but they're not going to actually play, so why waste your vote on it?
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Well, it's like people like me who are just kind of learning the league,
mm-hmm.
I'm really only voting for the people I know.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, there were people I recognized, but I didn't even fill a whole roster whenever I voted. So... anyway, I am looking at that list now. So Asia Wilson, Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston are the first three.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next person who is not on the Olympic team is Arike.
Yes, I think she's one of the most deserving. She's
leading
the league, prior to this week, she was leading the league in points on a team that wasn't doing very well. So she was carrying the team.
I know.
Well, I
do want to mention too, last week we talked about how we felt like she got snubbed. And I think we later learned that she actually withdrew her name.
That's right.
From the Olympic selection. So that's good to know.
Yep.
I feel like, and I'm seeing some of these others, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink was on there. Of course she's hurt now. Mm. Kate Martin's number 12. Camila Cardoso, number 16. Like, are we going to have, like, a half-rookie team?
It's very possible.
All-Star? Yeah, on the All-Star team.
It'd basically be Olympic team versus rookies. It's essentially what it could be.
I know.
Especially if some of the rookies are, you know, backups, but they end up on the court at the same time. You could literally have an Olympic team versus rookies on the court.
Yeah. Some other ones that would be great to see. De'Erica Hamby, she's playing for the Sparks. She's been really hot this year.
She has.
DeWanna Bonner, I'm a big fan of hers because she's a twin mom.
Yep. And she, just in the past couple weeks, I've seen more of the Connecticut Sun play just because they've been on TV more. And she's good.
I know.
She kills it.
Yep. Jonquel Jones, we talked about earlier. So anyway, we'll see how We'll see how things shake out. Maybe we'll know more in about a week from now.
Yeah, about a week from now, voting stops, or closes, I should say, for fans. So make sure you get your votes in. And then the actual game itself is July 20th. So it's only 2 or 3 days after some of the games before they break for the quote-unquote Olympic and All-Star break during the season.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to mention there is, I don't have it right in front of me, but I saw that Diana Taurasi is one of the lowest people with votes.
Interesting.
Which I think is really interesting. I think she's fantastic, but I kind of wonder if she's hard for people to like.
Yeah, could be. I mean, plus she's, if you look at her this year, statistically speaking, she isn't, I mean she's near the top 25%, we'll just say, in most categories. And there are some that she's even higher. But it's not like she's 1 through 5 in points and assists and rebounds and steals like she was, you know, way early on in her career. I think that the people that know her are people that have been fans of women's basketball for a long time, and those are going to be the ones she gets the votes from. But all these droves of new fans that have come in maybe don't know her as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Along with the All-Star game itself, much like the NBA, there is a skills competition type night.
Okay.
Where they have a three-point contest, just like the NBA.
Right.
And a skills challenge, just like the NBA.
I assume no slam dunk competition.
I was just about to say, no dunk contest? What's up with that? I mean, I know there are at least 2 or 3 women that could dunk a basketball in the WNBA right now, because I've seen videos of them do it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be doing trick shots, but maybe we should throw one of those trampolines, you know?
We should throw that in.
Like the mascots do.
Now, that's a good idea. That's what we should do. We should have guards.
That just feels like...
have to be under 6 foot tall.
An injury waiting to happen.
You're right.
It really does.
You're right. Here's a good food for thought.
Wait. Yeah. Are they going to have a celebrity game too? You know how the NBA...
I don't know about that. I would kind of be surprised if they got enough celebrities to come out to field a celebrity game for this. But speaking of celebrities, sort of, you know how this past year Sabrina competed in the NBA three-point contest,
yes,
sort of in a way against Steph?
Yes.
I kind of wonder if they'll try to do something similar again, just flip-flopped, roles reversed, an NBA player competing in WNBA. Just to kind of garner some more views type of deal.
Yeah. My gut says no, because I think they want to save it for, you know, the NBA. They're probably, you know, there's probably a lot more viewership for the NBA All-Star Weekend.
But, yeah, just a few more.
But I hope to see Caitlin Clark there.
Yeah. I'm sure she'll be there in one way, shape, or form, for sure.
Same.
We, honestly, we covered, I feel like, a decent amount in a pretty quick time period. I don't personally have anything left on my docket to cover.
No, let's just talk about a couple of the, maybe one of the key games this past week.
Okay, yeah. That's
Phoenix good New York Liberty, they played on Tuesday. Phoenix snapped New York's win streak.
They did,
We just talked about how great New York Liberty has been this season. And that was a great game. It was a late game for us, but I stayed up and watched it. And I think there was a record. Do you have that, Devin? A record set?
Record number of threes. There were 33 made threes in that game on 72 attempts. So 72 three-point shots put up. That's a 45-ish, roughly, shooting percentage, which is really good.
That is pretty wild. I feel like someone told me recently, it's like if you're going to go for a mid-range shot, you might as well just go for a three, because the percentage in making it is pretty even between threes and like a mid-court shot. So anyway, 72 attempts is quite a bit.
Yep, it is. Dallas and Chicago played yesterday in a 11 a.m. game. What was up with that?
Yeah, so when I saw that, I figured it was some sort of, like, for the kids game, and I did confirm that it's, like, Chicago school field trip day, and it was a bunch of kids. Okay. And I did have to laugh because I saw something on Twitter or X or whatever people are calling it these days. I saw that they were talking about how it was a sold-out stadium. And, I mean, no doubt, like, Chicago should have sold-out stadiums, but I had to laugh because I know that
it's all a bunch of kids.
Probably several thousand of it was a bunch of screaming kids. Yeah, and so I bet that was fun, though. I mean, they get to look at these women and, you know, have some role models out there. Oh, 100%. What a fun field trip, too.
Yeah, for real. That's way better than any field trip I went on as a kid. I only went on one field trip, I think, in my entire elementary school career. And it was to, like, an apple orchard or something random. Like, come on, that's the best we could do.
We don't even have apple orchards and orchards. I can't even say it.
I should preface, this is not when I was living in Texas. The Fever and Mystics, Washington, Indiana, they had a game in the middle of the week. That was another pretty close game by both teams. Indiana ended up on top by 7 points. In fact, speaking of close games, this tonight actually was the first game that I think I've ever seen Indiana play that they made it look, dare I say, easy against the team. I mean,
they were up by double digits for probably 75% of the game. So
are things finally starting to click for them?
You know, I don't know if we're going to go that far, but I think that there's a very clear, like, upper, like, top quartile in the WNBA. Yeah. And then I feel like there's kind of everyone else. And I think that the Fever are going to sit in the middle of everyone else. I think there have just been a lot of close games, you know?
I agree.
You look at the Aces, and I think they're like 7-6 or 6-7 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I think that there are going to be some very clear dominant teams, and then everyone else is kind of going to fall.
Yeah, but even the beauty of the, at least right now, of the WNBA is that even if you're middle of the pack, you're still going to make the playoffs. Because there's only 12 teams in the entire league.
Well, I mean, we're just keeping with the Fever. All they wanted was to make the playoffs this year. So.
And right now they're in a playoff spot.
Yep. Hopefully they can keep that. Upcoming, we talked about the Fever and the Sky play again on Sunday. I'm kind of surprised that they play so quickly after just playing the week before, but I guess they're in the same conference, so I think that that's going to be a really good game.
Yep.
I think that's probably the most notable game this coming weekend. Mm-hmm.
Can I give you my dark horse game to watch?
Let's hear
it. My dark horse game to watch is Dallas and Washington on Sunday afternoon at 2:00. You want to know why it's my dark horse game?
I mean, they're both, like, not great teams.
Exactly.
So I'm very
nailed
curious
it. Yep.
What.
Because they are both not great teams who have, like, 2-10, 3-9, whatever it is, records. And so I think two not good teams squaring off might actually be a good game.
Well, I guess we'll see.
we'll see. I could be 1,000% wrong.
I think the games to watch are going to be the Fever and the Sky on Sunday, and then the Lynx and the Liberty, they play on Tuesday, June 25th.
Yep, that should be a really good game. Both of those teams, I mean, the Lynx are, or, I'm
the,
sorry, not well.
The Lynx are 12-3, and the Liberty is 13-3.
Correct.
And they have both had some really good runs.
Right,
so.
Right, and that's the Commissioner Cup's final.
Is it really?
Yes, that game on Tuesday is the – yeah.
Well, then absolutely it's a game.
It's
yeah,
it's a must-watch game.
Watch.
Yep, that's probably one of the must-watch games of the week right there. Yeah.
You're right.
Yep, final championship game of the Commissioner's Cup.
All right, well, stay tuned, and hopefully we have some good games to talk about next week.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, thanks again for listening, everybody. This is the Crossover Conversations Podcast. We are your hosts, the Wyatts. I'm Devin.
And I'm Katie.
Thanks again for listening.